Yes, Minister, by Anthony Jay and Jonathan Lynn, starring Paul Eddington as the Right Honourable James Hacker MP and Nigel Hawthorne as Sir Humphrey Appleby, with Derek Folds as Bernard Woolley in Open Government.
And here at Birmingham East, the returning officer is just declaring the result.
David Lloyd Evans, 4,106. Arthur William Gaunt, 19,321. James George Hacker, 21,793. And I hereby declare that James George Hacker has been duly elected to serve as Member of Parliament for this constituency.
And so, Jim Hacker's back with an increased majority in his marginal constituency, and after many years as a shadow minister, seems almost certain to get a post in the new government. We'll be coming back to Birmingham East to have a word with Mr. Hacker, but meanwhile, back to the studio for some more results.
I haven't had a call yet.
Who from?
Our new Prime Minister, who do you think?
What do you expect? The car's only just got back from the palace. I saw it on the news.
Any minute now, then.
So who was on the phone?
Frank Wisel. He's on his way over.
Why doesn't he just move in?
Sometimes I don't understand you. He's my political advisor. I depend on him more than anyone.
Why don't you marry him?
Oh, Paddy. Do overreact to everything. There it is! Hello? Yes, speaking? Oh, yeah, thanks, yes. Lovely party, wasn't it? Yes, I've got a headache too. Look, I wonder if I could call you back. I'm waiting for a rather important call. Thanks. Bye. Alderman Spottiswood. Wish people had stopped ringing up to congratulate me. Don't they realise I'm waiting for the call?
You sound as if you're about to enter the ministry.
Yes, but which ministry? That's the whole point.
It was a joke.
Ah, yes, I see. Are you very tense?
Oh, no, I'm not tense. I'm just a politician's wife. I'm not allowed to have feelings. A happy, carefree politician's wife.
Well, what are you doing on your hands and knees?
I'm looking for a cigarette. I can't find any.
Well, try the cigarette box.
It's empty.
Now, take a Valium.
I can't find the Valium. That's why I'm looking for a cigarette. Jim, I've had it. Would you pop out and get some?
No, I don't leave the phone. Sorry.
Look, if the PM wants you to be in the stupid cabinet, the PM will phone back if you're out. Or you can phone back.
Annie, the point is, I ran the campaign against the PM for the leadership. You just never know. If I'm out, who knows?
I could take a message.
There it is! Hello! Yes, speaking. Oh, Michael. No, I haven't had a call. Have you had a call? Bill's had a call. What's he got? Europe? Bill's got Europe.
Lucky Europe. I didn't know Bill could speak French.
Can't even speak English. What? No, I'll phone if I hear anything. Hello, hello.
Darling, that was the front doorbell. It'll be Frank.
Did you know Martin's got the Foreign Office?
Has he?
Jack's got health and Fred's got energy.
Has anyone got brains?
What? You mean education?
I know what I mean.
Well, what's left? I mean, what have I got?
Rhythm.
Frank, I've heard nothing. It's hardly surprising. My entire career is about to go down the drain and up the spout. Because the Prime Minister of Great Britain is totally unable to get through to me on the electric telephone. Maybe you can get it.
Hello?
Oh, this is the BBC here. We were wondering if Mr. Hacker would like to be interviewed on the PM programme this afternoon.
PM?
PM? Give me that.
Yes, but...
Yes? Jim Hacker here.
Are you available this afternoon?
Well, yes, any time at all.
Good. We thought perhaps we could interview you.
Yes, I've been hoping you'd call.
Tell me, what job do you think you're likely to get?
I beg your pardon?
What job do you think you're likely to get?
Well, not for me to say. I mean, that's for you to tell me.
What?
What? I don't decide. The PM decides. I mean, you're the PM's office.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, you misunderstand. This is the BBC PM programme office.
What? Oh, Oh, sorry. Oh, what a silly mistake. Yes, yeah. Look, I'm sorry. I'll have to call you back. Bye.
Well, I did tell you, but you kept on.
Oh, you answer the bloody phone.
Hello? Mrs. Hacker speaking. Oh, congratulations, Prime Minister. It's Annie here. Yes, I'm
Get
fine.
Is it... Hello, Prime Minister. Yes. Yes. I'll be on the next train.
A further group of cabinet appointments has now been announced from number 10. The post of Minister of Administrative Affairs goes to Jim Hacker, the former Shadow Minister for Agriculture, who held on to his marginal seat at Birmingham East by an increased majority of nearly...
Good afternoon, Minister.
Good afternoon.
Bernard Woolley, Principal Private Secretary, and this is Mr. Lloyd Pritchard, the Assistant Private Secretary.
How do you do? And this is my political advisor.
Ah, yes, of course, Mr. Weasel.
Wise.
Yes. I'm so sorry. Oh, this way, Minister. Yes, Minister, I was the Minister's principal private secretary, but that, of course, was in the last government. However...
No. I'm sure you'll be just the thing.
Oh, thank you, Minister. How kind.
Where are we going?
You're going to your office, Minister.
Oh. Yeah, what about Frank? Where's Frank? Frank, my political advisor. He was with us a minute ago. What happened to him?
He's being taken care of, Minister.
Would you be good enough to wait here, sir?
But this is the waiting room.
Precisely, sir.
But I am Jim Hacker's special advisor.
Yes, well, the minister now has a whole department to advise him, sir.
Look, he needs me.
Of course he does, sir. But until the minister sends for you, would you be so good as to wait?
Sherry, Minister?
Jim.
Gin?
No, I said Jim. Call me Jim.
Well, I think if it's all the same to you, I'd rather address you as Minister, Minister.
Minister, Minister? Oh, fine. Yes, I see what you mean. Yeah, does that mean I have to call you Private Secretary, Private Secretary?
No, please call me Bernard.
Oh, thank you, Bernard.
You're most welcome, Minister.
Cheers, Bernard.
Your health, Minister.
Well, what now?
Ah. Minister, may I present Sir Humphrey Appleby, the Permanent Under-Secretary of State and Head of the DAA.
Hello, Sir Humphrey.
Hello, and welcome.
Thank you.
I believe you've met before.
Yes, we did cross swords when the Minister gave me a grilling over the estimates in the Public Accounts Committee last year.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Humphrey.
You came up with all the questions I hoped nobody would ask.
Well, opposition's about asking awkward questions.
And government is about not answering them.
Well, you answered all my questions anyway.
And I'm glad you thought so, Minister.
Now, who else is in this department?
Well, briefly, sir, I'm the Permanent Under-Secretary of State, known as the Permanent Secretary. Woolley here is your Principal Private Secretary. I, too, have a Principal Private Secretary, and he is the Principal Private Secretary to the Permanent Secretary. Directly responsible to me are 10 Deputy Secretaries, 87 Under-Secretaries, and 219 Assistant Secretaries. Directly responsible to the principal private secretaries are plain private secretaries. The Prime Minister will be appointing 2 parliamentary under-secretaries, and you will be appointing your own parliamentary private secretary.
Can they all type?
None of us can type, Minister. Mrs. Mackay types. She's the secretary.
Pity. You could have opened an agency.
Oh, very droll, sir. Yes.
Most amusing, sir, most amusing.
Suppose they all say that, do they?
Oh, certainly not, Minister. Not quite all.
Well, now, to business. You'll have to forgive me if I'm a bit blunt, but that's the sort of chap I am. Don't care for this chair very much. It's awfully uncomfortable.
We can change it for you, Minister.
Oh, can you?
Well, we can change anything, Minister. We can change furniture, upholstery, decor, office routine. Your wish is our command.
Well, in that case, I'd like a new chair. I don't like swivel chairs.
Mm. It used to be said that there are 2 kinds of chairs to go with 2 kinds of minister. One sort folds up instantly and the other sort goes round and round in circles.
Bernard?
Well, now, this department has got to cut a great swathe through the whole of the stuffy Whitehall bureaucracy. We need a new broom. We're going to throw open the windows, let a bit of fresh air in. We'll cut through the red tape and streamline this creaking old bureaucratic machine.
You mean a clean sweep, Minister?
That's right, a clean sweep. Open government. That's what my party believes in, taking the nation into our confidence. How do you react to that?
In fact, Minister, just as you said in the House on May the 2nd last year, and again on November the 23rd, and in your Observer article, and your Daily Mail interview. And as your manifesto made clear.
Oh. Oh, you knew that.
Perhaps you'd like to look at these proposals, Minister. They outline the ways in which this policy could be implemented and contain draft proposals for white paper for your approval. We thought the white paper might be called Open Government.
You mean it's all been...
It's all been taken care of, Minister.
Oh. Well, who did all this?
The creaking old bureaucratic machine. No, seriously, we are fully seized of the need for reform, and we have taken it on board.
I must say, I'm slightly surprised. I thought I'd have to fight you all the way.
People do have funny ideas about the civil service. We're just here to help you formulate and implement your policies.
Proposals for shortening approval procedures in planning appeals.
Hansard, volume 1007, column 189, quote, Mr. Hacker, is the minister aware that planning procedures make building a bungalow in the 20th century slower than building a cathedral in the 12th century? Opposition laughter and government cries of shame.
They didn't actually cry shame.
Quite so, Minister.
Right, well, that's it then.
But there are just one or two more things.
What thing?
Well, if you would just like to check your diary for next week, Minister.
My diary? You didn't know I was coming. You didn't even know who'd win the election.
Well, we knew there would be a minister.
Don't start that again.
Sorry, even if we didn't know it would be you.
You see, Her Majesty likes the business of government to continue, even when there are no politicians around.
Isn't that rather difficult?
Yes. And no.
Well, it's going to be quite a busy week, Minister. 9 cabinet committees, a speech at the annual dinner of the Law Institute on Monday at 8... a deputation from the British Computer Association at 10:30 Tuesday morning, opening the National Union of Public Employers annual meeting at 11 on Wednesday, for which you'll have to make another speech.
Yeah, but what about all the other things I have to do?
What other things, Minister?
Well, I'm on 4 policy committees of the party for a start.
Well, I'm sure you won't want to be putting party before country, Minister.
No, of course not.
I'll get your boxes, Minister.
Boxes? Already?
Well, of course, we kept the last minister supplied with work throughout the campaign, but I fear... Well, it's not for me to criticise.
What do you mean?
Well, it's a harsh thing to say of anyone, but some of the boxes actually came back with the work not done.
If you could deal with the first 4 by Saturday evening, the driver will collect them and deliver the other 2.
Yeah, but Villa's playing at home to Liverpool. I've got a surgery in the constituency on Saturday morning.
Well, we could, in fact, minimise the paperwork so that you need only take the major policy decisions, Minister.
No. I take all the decisions round here. Now then, what time shall I come in on Monday?
Well, you'll be catching the 7:45 train from New Street.
Will I?
And your driver will meet you at Euston Platform 7.
Fine.
And now I'll just put in these draft proposals, and that's your key.
Now get out of my way! I've had enough of this.
But you can't go in there.
Just try and stop me. Jim, what's going on?
Ah, Frank, where have you been?
I've been in the waiting room.
Would you mind? We are in private conference with the minister.
Then I should be here too.
Oh, why is that?
Calm down, Frank. Sir Humphrey, I want Frank to have his own office in the department.
Certainly, Minister, if you insist.
I do insist.
Well, I believe we have some spare office space in Walthamstow, don't we, Bernard?
Walthamstow?
Yes, it's very surprising, isn't it? The government owns property all over London.
I don't want to be in Walthamstow.
It's a very nice part of Walthamstow.
Walthamstow's a very nice place, so I gather.
I need an office here in this building.
Oh, why is that?
I agree with Frank Humphrey.
Well, in that case, Bernard, we must find an office here for Mr. Weasel.
Why is it?
And I want Frank to have copies of all the papers that you give me.
All?
All.
It shall be done, Minister. All the appropriate papers.
Your brandies, gentlemen.
Ah, thank you very much. Hmm.
How's your new minister, Humphrey?
Well, learning the rules very quickly for a new boy. How's your new cabinet?
No problem. Can hardly tell the difference from the last one.
Cheers. Hmm. Arnold, I hear the American ambassador's been spending a lot of time with the PM these last few days.
Yes.
Defence or trade?
Both.
The aerospace systems contract?
I don't want the cabinet to hear about it yet.
Oh, yes, it's, This aerospace thingamy would be rather a coup for the PM, wouldn't it?
Rather. Of course, it's been in the pipeline for months, but now the PM will take the credit.
I see. Yeah, Bernard.
Sorry to interrupt, Sir Humphrey, Sir Arnold, but if you could just OK the redraft of the minister's winding-up speech, I can get it straight down to the House.
Yes, of course. Care to join us?
Oh, thank you, Sir Humphrey, as long as I'm not too long.
Well, get yourself a cup of coffee. So it might be an embarrassment to the PM if a hypothetical minister were to rock the Anglo-American boat.
Yes, grave embarrassment.
How grave?
Man overboard, I should think.
Oh, you mean it might cut short a promising new ministerial career?
No question.
Ah. Ah, Bernard, tell us what you make of our new minister.
Absolutely fine.
Yes, we'll have him house-trained in no time. He swallowed the whole diary in one gulp, and I gather he did his boxes like a lamb last Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
So long as we can head him off this open government nonsense.
But I thought we were calling the white paper open government.
Well, of course. Always dispose of the difficult bit in the title. Does less harm there than in the text.
It's the law of inverse relevance. The less you intend to do about something, the more you have to keep talking about it.
Yes, but what is wrong with open government, actually? I mean, why shouldn't the public know more about what goes on?
Are you serious?
Well, yes. It's the minister's policy, after all.
My dear boy, it's a contradiction in terms. You can be open, or you can have government.
But don't the citizens of a democracy have a right to know?
No. They have a right to be ignorant. Knowledge only means complicity and guilt. Ignorance has a certain dignity.
But if the minister wants open government...
You don't just give people what they want if it's not good for them. You give brandy to an alcoholic.
Yes, but...
People don't know what you're doing, they don't know what you're doing wrong.
But all the same, Sir Humphrey, I am his private secretary, so...
My dear boy, you will not be serving your minister by helping him to make a fool of himself. Look at the ministers we've had. Everyone would have been a laughingstock in 3 weeks, but for the most rigid and impenetrable secrecy about what they were up to.
Then what do you propose to do about it?
Can you keep a secret?
Yes, of course.
So can I. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to make a telephone call.
Well, I'd better be taking this draft back to the minister.
Yes, thank you.
Hello? Martin? Has the weasel had a copy of the invoice for the new American addressing machines? Yes, I know it's sensitive, but get it to him today. But, Martin, let him find it near the bottom of the pile.
Jim, look what I found.
We've got them. We've got them by the short and curly.
What are you talking about?
We've got Sir Humphrey Bloody Appleby and Mr. Toffino's private secretary, Snutty Woolley, just where we want them. See this? This innocent-looking piece of paper, It's political dynamite.
Calm down, Frank. I don't know what you're talking about.
This is an invoice for 1,000 computer video display terminals at £10,000 each. That's £10 million.
So?
Made by the Pittsburgh Manufacturing Corporation.
Imported from America?
I know.
But we make computer peripherals in Britain, in my constituency.
I know.
What about unemployment?
I know.
This must be stopped.
Sir Humphrey to see... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, come in. I want to see you both, as it happens. Sit down, Humphrey.
Thank you, Minister.
Now, Frank has just found this contract for 1,000 video display terminals.
May I see it? Yes, for the whole civil service in Whitehall.
But they are not British.
That is unfortunately true.
But we make these machines in Birmingham.
Not of the same quality.
Better quality. They come from my constituency.
Well, we were advised...
Humphrey, this contract must be cancelled.
It is beyond my power, Minister. This can only be cancelled by the Treasury.
Why is that?
Well, it would be a major change of policy for the civil service to cancel contracts freely entered into, especially with overseas suppliers. Of course, if you wish to take it up with the Cabinet...
How do you expect me to face my constituency party?
Why need they know? Why need anybody know? We can see that it never gets out.
Open government.
That's right. Open government.
If the order can't be cancelled, it must be published.
That's right. It must be published.
Why?
Because... Why, Frank?
The manifesto. Also, it'll make your predecessor look like a traitor.
Yeah, there you are. Two unanswerable reasons.
Yes, but surely...
Well, you didn't bargain for this, did you? Huh?
But surely you're not suggesting that the minister should make a positive reference to this confidential transaction in a speech?
Speech?
That's it. Jim, what about that speech you're supposed to deliver to the Union of Office Employees?
Good idea, Frank. I'll talk about this scandalous contract, and we'll release it to the press today.
There. Who's running the country now?
But do you object, Humphrey?
Well, I think it might be regrettable, Minister, if we were to upset the Americans.
The Americans? It's time somebody jolted them out of their commercial complacency. We should be thinking about the British poor, not the American rich.
Right.
Well, of course, Minister, if that is your express wish, the department will back you up to the hilt.
That is my express wish.
Then I'd better circulate the speech to the relevant departments for clearance.
Clearance? What's it got to do with any other department?
Well, surely open government demands that we should include our colleagues as well as our friends in Fleet Street.
Hmm. Yes, that's fair enough.
I'm not sure.
Well, thanks, everyone. But, Sir Humphrey?
Yes, Minister?
Make sure it goes straight to the press, will you?
Minister, we shall obviously serve your best interests.
Pass me the dictating machine, Bernard. Now, how does this sound, Frank? As you know, we have made a pledge to the people about open government. So let's have some open government. Now, I have discovered that only last month the previous government signed a contract to import £10 million worth of office equipment from America for use by the civil service.
Bureaucracy.
Civil service bureaucracy. So we are being fobbed off with second-rate American junk by high-pressure, smart-aleck salesmen from Pittsburgh, while British factories stand idle and British workers queue up for the dole.
Unemployment benefits.
The dole, Bernard. Well, if the Americans are going to take that kind of advantage, why, here's a two.
Oh, Minister?
Yes?
Something's come up.
Yes?
A minute from the PM's private office.
No, don't bother me now.
To all departments, to inform you that the PM is planning a visit to Washington next month and is anxious that the visit will result in a valuable Anglo-American defense trade agreement. The importance of obtaining this agreement cannot be overestimated.
Fine. Oh, my God. Has my speech gone to the press?
I presume so, Minister, as you requested.
Minister, sorry to burst in, but all hell's just broken loose at number 10. Apparently, they've just seen your speech. They're asking why we didn't obtain clearance.
What did you say?
Well, I said that we believe in open government, but it seemed to make things worse. The PM wants to see you in the House right away.
Oh, what's going to happen?
Well, the Prime Minister giveth, and the Prime Minister taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Prime Minister.
Hello, Vic. Do you know Sir Humphrey Appleby, Vic Gould,
Hello.
Chief Whip?
You're a real pain in the arse, Jim, aren't you? The PM's going up the wall.
Really?
Hitting the roof. You can't go around making speeches like that.
I'm sorry, but...
It's open government.
Oh, shut up, Weasel. Nobody's asking you.
Weasel. But he's right. I mean, open government was in our manifesto, one of our main planks. The PM believes in it, too.
Open, yes, but not gaping. In politics, you've got to learn how to say things with tact and finesse, you Burke. And when to say nothing at all. How long have you been a minister?
A week and a half.
A week and a half. I think you may have earned yourself a place in the Guinness Book of Records. I can see the headlines already. Cabinet split on US trade. Hacker leads revolt against Prime Minister. Well, that's what you wanted, isn't it?
Ah, Sir Arnold, what news?
That speech is causing the Prime Minister some considerable distress. Has it been definitely released to the press?
Well, the Minister gave express instructions for 12 noon. Isn't that right, Minister?
I am appalled at you, Humphrey. Mm. How could you allow the minister to put himself in this position without going through the proper channels?
Well, the minister and I believe in open government. We want to throw open the windows and let in a bit of fresh air. Isn't that right, Minister?
Well, Minister, it's good party stuff, but it places the PM in a very difficult situation personally.
But what about our commitment to open government?
This seems to be the closed season for open government.
Well, do you want to give thought to a draft letter of resignation, Minister? I mean, just in case, of course.
Can't we hush it up?
Hush it up?
Yes. Hush it up.
What do you mean? Suppress it?
Yes, I suppose I do.
I see. You mean that within the framework of the guidelines about open government which you have laid down,
You're suggesting that we should adopt a more flexible posture.
Am I? Yes.
Excuse me, Minister, about the press release.
Yes.
There appears to have been a development which could precipitate a reappraisal of our position.
What? What?
Apparently, we failed to rescind the interdepartmental clearance procedure.
What?
The supplementary stop order came into effect.
Hmm?
So it's all right, Minister. Your speech has not yet been sent to the press. Oh. It's only gone to the Prime Minister's private office. Oh. The duty officer had no instructions to send it out before it was cleared with the PM and the Foreign Office. The American reference, you see?
How come?
The fault is entirely mine, Minister. This procedure for holding up press releases dates back to before the era of open government, and I, unaccountably, omitted to rescind it. I do hope you'll forgive this lapse.
Yes, of course, yes. That's quite all right, Humphrey, quite all right.
Thank you, Minister.
After all, we all make mistakes.
Yes, Minister.
In Open Government, you heard Paul Eddington as Jim Hacker, Nigel Hawthorne as Sir Humphrey, and Derek Folds as Bernard. Annie Hacker was played by Diana Hoddinott, Frank Weisel by Bill Nye, the Cabinet Secretary by John Nettleton, the Chief Whip by Edward Dewsbury, and Nigel and the Returning Officer by Hayden Wood. The radio presenter was Gordon Clyde, and the newsreader was Bob Doherty. Yes, Minister was written by Anthony Jay and Jonathan Lynn, and produced by Pete Atkin.